can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And today, we're somewhere going back to childhood.
Yay!
In that we're watching cartoons.
Oh, good.
And it is actually Saturday, though not morning, when we're recording this.
They don't really have Saturday morning cartoons anymore. I mean, I'm sure they do, but you can watch cartoons anytime now.
Yeah, I didn't actually watch Saturday morning cartoons. I watched cartoons that would have been someone's Saturday morning cartoons, but they were reruns for me, and so they were like, you know, really random times. Usually after school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we had after school. We had Flintstones and Jetsons after school.
But... See, I also had Flintstones and Jetsons and Scooby-Doo and mm-hmm. Josie and the Pussycats and Jabberjaws and Speed Buggy.
Oh my gosh. My husband was just singing the Jabberjaws song to me the other day.
I don't even remember the Jabberjaws song. I just remember Jabberjaws.
Just ask him. He'll sing it for you.
Now I'm going back to my nostalgia childhood, and we need to stop because that's a totally long road we could go down. But that's not where we're at.
Yeah. Well, we did have Saturday morning cartoons and a black and white TV. It was a good time.
That's sad, actually. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking cartoons in black and white.
Yeah, the Smurfs were not blue. Obviously, they were gray.
Sacrilege.
Yeah, I don't know. This is just going to make me sound... I don't even know what's going to make me sound like, but we didn't have central heat. We had a wood stove. So my parents would tend to sleep in a little bit on Saturdays. So if we got up before my dad, who built the fire, then it would just be like me and my brother in a giant comforter wrapped up on the floor in the living room.
And you were really excited when the Wells Fargo wagon came to town, huh? I'm sorry. This just sounds like we're not in this century.
My aunt used to joke that you can fly to the border, but you got to take a stagecoach home.
Oh, very, very cute. And also kind of, wow, I couldn't live then. But, so.
And then being, I mean, this we're talking about the 80s here.
Well, I mean, I've mentioned several times I don't like the 80s. The 80s are terrible. Horrid.
It had nothing to do with being the 80s. So,
yeah, just Sarah's town. Sarah's childhood. Some interesting stories there, I'm sure.
It was a good time.
Mm-hmm. But so anyways, the two films we are doing today are Teen Titans Go! To the movies. There is an exclamation point there, so I feel that's just you have to pronounce that.
I agree.
And The Breadwinner. And I watched The Breadwinner because I was going to watch Teen Titans, and I was like, cartoons! You're on my queue for some reason. I don't remember why I put you here, but I'm going to watch a cartoon movie. So also cartoon movie. Let's just get all the cartoons out of the way. Although they're bringing back, just really random, they're bringing back Rugrats, and my childhood does not know how to deal, so.
Yeah, see, I didn't watch Rugrats. I mean, I've seen it, but yeah.
I saw some, and then didn't watch the olders, and we're off topic, so let's get back. So, Teen Titans Go! To the movies. I know there was a TV show, but I felt I was too old for cartoons when Teen Titans originally started.
Oh, silly Stacey.
I know, tricks are for kids. So... I had to look this up. There were evidently two Teen Titans shows, kind of. There was Teen Titans, and that was on for a few seasons, and people really liked that. And then it ended, I think, because it was only supposed to be a few seasons, not because it was like, oh, we don't want to do this anymore. And then they did Teen Titans Go, which has the same voice actors, but a different animation style. And so I think it was aimed at a younger audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so this movie is based off of that second one, Teen Titans Go.
Now that I'm looking it up, I mean, I thought I had seen one of them, and I have seen the second one with the different animation.
Yes. And so there are a couple of times in the film where the animation changes. At least one of those is sort of referencing the original Teen Titans, and the others are just, I'm not quite sure. Because I'm not sure how much of this is, hey, we did this for the movie, and how much of this is typical for Teen Titans.
Mm.
Because this is a rather somewhat irreverent film at times, the Teen Titans.
I've seen of the cartoon, it's fairly irreverent.
They're very interesting. So this movie starts where there's a giant balloon person wreaking havoc on a city. And I already went in feeling like I'm going to be too old for this movie. And then I immediately felt that way because my first thought is the physics of how a balloon is smashing buildings without like popping instead of, you know, anything else. It was just Stacey. You're a balloon.
But it's a cartoon. I mean, I don't know what you were. I can't believe you went in expecting any sort of accuracy.
But I was just like, your first villain that you show me is a giant balloon guy? I'm immediately like, but buildings, and because he goes around smashing a city.
Okay.
And the Teen Titans come out to stop him, but he doesn't know who he is. There's a lot of references to the Justice League repeatedly throughout this film. Are you like the Justice League Junior or some of the lesser known members? Who are you? He doesn't know who the Teen Titans are. So they decide to introduce themselves with a Cool Beats hip hop song that they rap and dance to. Of course they do.
Because why not?
And while they're doing that, the actual Justice League comes and, you know, defeats the balloon monster because they're too busy doing their musical number. And they happen to mention, we have to go. We're going to Batman's movie premiere because Batman has a movie
Batman always has a movie.
It seems all the superheroes have a movie. We even get that point when they're talking to the Teen Titans of like, do you all have a movie? And Superman's like, yes, many, with more to come. And Wonder Woman's like, it took a while, but yes. And Green Lantern's like, I do, but we don't talk about it. And you do get that sometimes where there are some of the jokes that are clearly for kids. Like when they fight the balloon monster, there is a rather long
farting joke. Noise.
I
didn't even have to guess. I just knew that would be the
and
case.
And it goes on for a while, and I'm just like, wow, okay, this is the level of humor we're at? Okay.
Oh, of course.
But then you get the references, like, there's a reference to the Green Lantern movie, there's a reference to Superman with Gene Hackman's Real Estate, which I think
so wow. There's clearly some that kids are would also, definitely not get that one, I don't think.
There's clearly some that are also for adults. And so it is, I don't know that it really maintains that balance super well, but I did like the ones that were not fart poop jokes, that were more like you have to get this reference. I actually ended up sitting up next to a father with his two sons.
And they were probably giggling hysterically.
They were laughing at certain parts, and I was laughing at certain parts. And I just remember thinking, that kid probably thinks I'm crazy at the parts I'm laughing at because he doesn't get them.
Exactly.
But I'm cracking up at certain things because, yeah. So in this, they decided, especially Robin, who's sort of the leader of the Teen Titans. And Robin's the only one who I even recognized before as a person because he's Robin's Batman. Batman's Robin, excuse me. But then there's also Starfire, who is from some other planet and tends to say the word the in front of things. Like, I do not know why, but she's like, this film is really the awesome. She's essentially something like that.
Yes.
I don't know what that is about her character because I don't watch the show, but I'm just like, what? There is Raven, who uses dark magic or something. There is Beast Boy, who can turn into any animal. And there is Cyborg, who is a cyborg, exactly as that sounds.
Yes.
And that is the Teen Titans, and they don't take things seriously and like music numbers, evidently. Yes.
Yes, that's pretty much what I got from the few minutes here and there I've watched of the show. And
music numbers, especially.
Yeah. And you know, I now realize that I have seen the regular Teen Titans also because the hubby has watched both of them. I just, you know, come in and out of the... You've seen the way I watch TV with my husband.
I love how it's... I've seen part of it because my husband does for like everything.
Pretty much everything.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not that I hate... I love movies. That's the thing. I used to watch movies all the time. Yes. And then last night, I had my first like alone time in forever. Mm-hmm. And did I sit down and watch TV? No, I cleaned a closet.
Right. As one does. You mean... As we all do at free time.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. I think I've just gotten boring in my old age.
Oh. But so anyways, back to the young people. The cool, hip young people with their music
with
numbers.
Their music.
So they go to the Batman premiere where pretty much the director is Jade Wilson. And she's done a bunch of superhero movies. So it seems everybody has a superhero movie, including the Challengers of the Unknown, which is A, evidently a real thing from the comic books, and B, a running joke throughout this film because it's in their name, The Unknown. How did they have a movie before the Teen Titans? Robin decides, and they keep getting told this, he's just a sidekick. The Teen Titans are just sidekicks because they don't have a movie. So in order to be considered a real hero, he needs to have a movie about him. But in order to get a movie about him, he needs to be a real hero.
It's kind of a catch 22.
So in order to be considered a real hero enough for a movie, he decides he needs an arch nemesis. And so there is this character, Slade, who they really like the way saying his name, Slade, comes up a number of times, who also running joke looks kind of like Deadpool.
Oh,
he doesn't with the colors, but he does in that he's like got a mask. And so his mouth doesn't move when he talks. It's just slats.
Oh, right.
And he's got swords. And yeah, I was like, okay. But I think it's interesting how many references there are to like Deadpool and other Disney owned properties in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is not a Disney film.
Right.
It's DC Comics. So you start getting a lot of like, oh, we're going to reference Marvel, but we're not. I'm just like, you keep comparing, and I'm just, what? Stop comparing yourself to Marvel, because I already feel DC Comics is like kind of losing this comic movie battle here.
Right.
I don't need the constant references to Disney and or Marvel.
Right. You don't need to keep pointing out your, you know, supposed or possibly not supposed inadequacy.
Well, and I think that they're trying to do that, and they're pointing out a lot of sort of ridiculous things about superhero genres, about, you know, I have to have my arch. There's a whole point when they're trying to convince Slade to be their arch nemesis and he doesn't want to. And then they finally convince him and they're trying to catch him. It's like, you can't catch me. That's not how arch nemesises work. I have to get away so you can foil my plan next time. It's just like, why are we having this conversation about what, like, really? So they're clearly, you know, poking fun a bit. But it was just like, when you start poking fun at the, you know, slightly better superhero universe, you lose. You just automatically lose that. So stick to poking fun at like regular pop culture. Then I'm good.
Right, right.
And they do some breaking the fourth wall at times along with the irreverence when they are talking to Slade about, you know, you look like Deadpool. Cyborg goes up to him and is like, look into the camera and say something mildly inappropriate. I love you. I need you all to just constantly keep making references that the children in this audience will not get, because that is what's going to carry me through this otherwise silly movie with poop and fart jokes. There's thankfully not too many of those, but when they do make them, they were like, this is great. We have to glory in this as long as possible. And sure. I'm just like, pass, move on. So anyways, in order to get his own movie, because he can't convince Slade to be his arch nemesis, and because there's all these other superheroes, the director, being somewhat snide, says, I would only make a superhero movie about you guys if there were no other heroes.
Oh,
they decide.
Oh, dear.
That they need to go back in time and stop all the other heroes from becoming heroes.
But they're the sidekicks. Isn't that going to eliminate them?
No, it's so great. So they're not actually as far in. Again, I'm not a comic book person. So save for Robin, I don't know that any of them are directly sidekicks to anyone. And I'm not even sure how much Robin is a sidekick in this universe of Teen Titans, because Batman doesn't really acknowledge him. In this film, to the point that you're like, I know from, like, you know, the various iterations of Batman that he's supposed to know who you are, but does he know who you are in this film? Because he doesn't seem to act that way. I don't quite get it. Were you ever his sidekick? How are you here? What is your background story? Because I don't understand. But so anyways, that creates one of these, and I'm amazed at, like, the rights they got properties to, like, even just name drop.
Okay.
But also put in, because in going back in time, lots of references to Back to the Future.
Oh, sure, sure.
Not only the name drop, but also the music.
Nice.
I'm like, how much did it cost you just, like, in rights to different properties for this film alone? Because I'm loving the things you actually paid to reference in this, including a cameo that I thought couldn't possibly be the real cameo, but is the real cameo. I won't spoil who that is, but it's very interesting.
Now I'm intrigued.
Yes. But so anyways, they do finally manage to get a movie, mostly about Robin. The other Teen Titans don't really care, but Robin's really upset, so they want to get a movie for Robin. But then it turns out that drives them apart, because Robin wants to be the movie star, and the other Teen Titans,
of course,
don't take things seriously. And so they sort of split apart right as we get to the villainous moment. I will not spoil. But there is also a very awesome, in the same way that the Lego movie had Everything is Awesome, that song.
Uh-huh.
This movie has Upbeat, which is okay. a very 1980s style pop song about being upbeat. Just like, you're annoying, and yet I also really love that you're stuck in my head right now. The music scenes were all fantastic. I really like them, including the ridiculous Teen Titans Introduce Ourselves song that we get. And I'm like, wow, you all are taking yourself very seriously for this not at all serious song. I don't know what to do here. The rest of it, the villain was kind of obvious, but again, it's a kid's cartoon.
Right.
So we're not going for too much subtlety, and we don't need to. The voice cast is very interesting. Looking at the credits after the fact and who plays certain people, I don't actually recognize any of the main Titans voices. Although then looking them up, I see that some of them did do voices for like Rugrats and Powerpuff Girls. And I'm like, what?
Right.
What? My childhood again. But the side characters' voices and who plays who, I really like, especially knowing it after the fact. I'm just like, ah, oh, I can see that for some of you. Or, wow, that was that person? Totally didn't get, so.
Okay, like who?
I won't spoil. There would be spoilers for some of those. Okay. Like, Patton Oswalt plays Adam, which is, I was amazed at that because his character is, I guess he's supposed to be like DC's version of Ant-Man. Because he shrinks, or he's at least tiny.
Uh-huh.
And so there's keeps being this joke of, like, he's trying to be, like, a regular superhero. Stop! In the name of the great at, and they just, like, step on him.
Aww!
it's wonderful. Again, we're not being reverent, so we are making just, you know, all those sort of things that, especially non-geek-out fans, would roll their eyes about superheroes. We are totally willing to touch on that. Mm. Like, there is a doomsday device in this.
Okay.
But that's because Doomsday is an acronym for something.
That's a huge acronym.
It is a really long acronym, but it's done by the movie director, and it's to basically stream this movie onto cell phones and things. And she's like, in hindsight, yeah, we could have picked a better name. I'm like, okay, but... okay, in a serious, you know, movie, that would totally be something else. But in this, we're just going to play on it. And they're very, like, even in serious moments when they're supposed to be fighting crime, it's just like, we have time to be ridiculous and silly because we are the Teen Titans. And none of us take anything seriously, including Raven, which really surprised me. Because from the little I knew about Raven, she seemed very sort of, like, droll in tone.
Mm-hmm.
But not to the point where she herself would make jokes. She would just be sort of sarcastic. But she's as in it and being stupid at times as the rest of them. And uh-huh. I'm just like... okay.
She's just darkly right. sarcastic, I guess.
Yeah. So I liked it for the most part. I definitely enjoyed it much more than I thought I would because, again, going in, I was just like, kids movie, kids cartoon. I don't know about this. But I liked the parts that I understood, the parts that were aimed a bit more at kids. Obviously, I was just like, fart jokes, poop jokes. Okay, moving on. I thought that the humor was really good. I'm interested to see now the original Teen Titans because of the difference in animation style. This one is, I mean, they're superheroes, so automatically you're not supposed to be, you know, real. Cyborg's head comes off and his wires act as arms or something. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But the original Teen Titans has a, at least less cartoony animation style. I won't say more real because it's still clearly like comic-y.
Right.
But it's a less like we are completely cartoon characters and more like our body proportions are at least semi-realistic as opposed to we all seem to be about maybe 2.5 feet tall.
Mm. Yeah, so yeah.
I'd be interested to see that, especially since in looking it up, it does seem that the shows dealt with a lot of really good themes along with also being irreverent about things. So this movie did make me interested in at least the original TV shows. I don't know if there's going to be a sequel or more TV shows or where the TV shows currently are, because at least the first one's over. But Teen Titans Go might still be on. I'm not sure. So
that's a good question. I'm not sure either.
Interested to check it out, but not like, oh my gosh, I immediately have to go and turn on the TV.
Funny, oh, come on. Go turn on the TV.
Funny,
do it for me.
Not, right? Because you never... Because Sarah's too busy cleaning closets, so somebody has to watch TV. Yes.
Take one for the team, Stacey.
I will try and do that. So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast, where today we are talking about cartoons because we clearly miss our childhood, and or Sarah just misses TV in general. She's too busy cleaning.
I gotta work on that.
She really does. So our second film today is The Breadwinner, which is based off of a book, which I did not know until like the end of the movie, about a young girl in Afghanistan whose father is taken away, and so she has to dress up as a boy in order to support her family.
Okay.
So when I first read the description for this, it read to me somehow as like this was a culturally accepted thing, like that this was a thing that sometimes just happened, where, hey, there's no man in the family, so, you know, the girl is still not clearly, you know, a grown woman, so she can dress up as a boy and be the breadwinner in the family. That's not the case. This is not like a thing that normally happens. This is a thing that she actually has to keep secret.
Okay, sure.
So, but going in, I was confused at first. I was like, so wait, what? oh, nobody knows? Because just somehow from the description, I thought it was just an accepted thing that just we kind of, and I think I was conflating it. There was a book I have where the girl takes a vow to remain a virgin and is allowed to then essentially act as a man so long as she remains a virgin. And so I think in my head they were conflating somehow.
Right. Although this is Afghanistan, you said, right? So
yes.
I can't imagine it would be culturally accepted for a girl to dress up as a boy.
Well, see, and this is what is the major frustrating part of this film for me, because you get this a number of times. It's not clear what year it's supposed to be, but it's clearly supposed to be somewhat modern times, because at some point there is a reference to cell phones.
Okay.
So we have cell phones and the Taliban. So somewhere in that time frame, at least, you know, most likely in my lifetime. But then at the same time, the people are clearly somewhat sheltered from the rest of the world, because at one point, the girl, who I think her name is Parmona, although I kept hearing it as Pomona. And I was like, you're not saying that because that's a city, but what are you saying?
Parvana, according to IMDb.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's 2001 is the year it's taking place.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, because at one point when she's dressed up as a boy, she actually meets another girl who's also dressed up as a boy. And they have a conversation about, you know, what they'd do if they could leave this place. And the other girl wants to go to the sea, because she's heard it's amazing, the moon pulls the water, but she's never seen it. And I'm just like, so what, you've never, like, even in a, I mean, I don't think we ever see a TV in this film at all, so it's not clear if anyone has a TV, but you've never seen, like, any sort of visual representation of the sea? What year is this? Like, you just mentioned cell phones, but at the same time, you're sounding like this is not anywhere in the past few decades. I don't understand.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, 2001, that makes a lot of sense, because Parvana?
That's how it's spelled. Yeah, let me double check that.
It's sounding like Parmona.
Yeah, Parvana.
So Parvona, maybe, is what they're saying?
Maybe. P-A-R-V-A-N-A, so.
So anyways, her father has lost his leg, And he inadvertently insults some Taliban members.
Oh, dear.
And so they get him arrested for because. The charges that are brought against him are that he has, like, immoral books and he's teaching women to read. Mm. And when they do bust into the house, he does have a book, but it's, like, a storybook telling, I think, stories of, like, their people's history. So I don't think it's immoral. But we don't really charge him anyways. We just take him off to prison.
Well, yeah, because he's teaching women to read.
Well, he was a school teacher, so. Mm-hmm. And we find out later that supposedly his wife was a writer, though we never get any hint of that, including even in the movie, she has her oldest daughter write. She herself doesn't write, so I'm not sure where that came up. But you get the idea that this family is a little liberal-minded as compared to, you know, the rest of the Afghani society where they live. The man who has charged her father was actually a former student of his, and he seems clearly very angry that, you know, life did not work out as well as he thought it would when he was a young, idealistic man. He's a very eager, I guess you'd say, Taliban member, and he uses that to sort of uses that power to do what he wants. And you get a lot of time. The women are not allowed out the house without a man. Mm-hmm. And since Parvona's father has been taken away, the only other man in their family is their younger brother, who's still a baby. Mm-hmm. To the point that he does not even talk in proper sentences. She keeps telling him a story about an elephant, and he can't pronounce elephant properly.
Right.
You can get what he's trying to say, but it's just like, elephant. It's just like, aw, adorable, but really not helping the situation right now. So because their father's been arrested, they go at first to try and get him out of prison. But this actually does not end well. They get, I'm going to say attacked. They get stopped at first by, I think he must be a Taliban member. Mm-hmm. You kind of get this idea from the way this is done that the Taliban members are all those guys who are riding around in the back of trucks and then get out and harass women who are outside without their husbands.
Well,
like, I'm sure that's completely not all,
inaccurate,
but it's just like, that's the only kind of thing you never get. The only time you ever mention it is the former student specifically says he's a Taliban member, and the rest of you just sort of hinted at. So it's not clear which of the men are, which of the men aren't. But in this society, there's clearly certain things that we just don't have to say out loud to understand. Mm-hmm. So when their father's taken, Parvona, at first still as a girl, because she's still young enough that she can go outside and she's the one who has to go out and draw water. Her older sister is now too old to do it. Mm-hmm. So it's Parvona's job because she's still a girl, not a woman, I guess.
Right.
She goes out to the market to try and get food, and none of the food sellers will sell to her because you can't to a woman or something, or they're not even supposed to talk to her.
Right.
I don't quite understand because obviously there's major cultural differences.
There's a lot of rules also.
Yes. So when she and her mother try and go to see her father in prison, that doesn't end well. Her mother ends up beaten. And this comes up a couple of times where they even try and explain, well, I'm out without my husband because my husband was arrested. Mm-hmm. And the guys who are yelling at them don't want to hear it. Don't come out without your husband, whatever. And so they get placed in this, you know, terrible rock versus hard place situation of, well, the man of the family was arrested and is not here, and I have to be able to go out and get food and water, but I can't go out without a man of the family. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Parvona's sister is actually, well, kind of. It's both Parvona and her sister, in different ways without saying it, have the idea that Parvona will go and dress as a boy. And originally, this is just supposed to be for a short time to get them food. But then Parvona finds she gets a lot of freedom because as a boy, she's able to go out and do a bunch of stuff that as a girl, she's not allowed to.
Absolutely.
And so she continues to do this because A, it gives her freedom, and B, it gives her a way to earn money. But then a war is coming. Mm-hmm. And I was too young in 2001 to be paying attention to the news. So I'm going to just go off the assumption that, yes, this actually happened around this time in Afghanistan. I was not paying attention to the news at all. I have no idea. A war is coming, and Parvona's mother has written to a cousin to help her because her husband's in jail. And so the family gets somewhat split up. The cousin comes and wants to take the family away, but Parvona's not there because she's gone to the prison yet again to see her father. And so we're all struggling, you know, not to be split up and to find out what happened to each other in this world where not only do we not have cell phones, but we're like walking several miles just to get anywhere. Mm-hmm. The animation is interesting in this. At times, it's especially when she's telling the story, which is about an evil elephant king on a mountain and his jaguars who have stolen the seed of the village or something. Mm. I don't.
This is the story she's telling her baby brother.
Yes.
Yeah.
That animation is a bit more less fluid and more jerky. Mm-hmm. But you're clearly supposed to be like, aha, now we're in the story. Okay, now we're back to real life. Mm-hmm. So that works. It's not like, what the heck is going on? It's like, aha, I get we're in the story world versus the real world. But then at the end, I like the story part until the end. Because it shows up as sort of the main last, almost climactic scene. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, my suspension of disbelief is gone. Like, this story at this moment, I can't. I was with you for the most part when you were just telling this to the brother. But now what you're using this story for, I'm just like, really? At this moment? Really? Like, I get this is a terrible situation, but really? And I'm trying not to spoil it, but I was just like,
okay.
I'm rooting for you, and at the same time, I can't believe that this is how this is going. So I want you to do well, but I can't believe you're going to do well. Mm. And I can't believe you're going to do well in the method you're trying to do well in.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yes.
It ends, but it doesn't end. Mm-hmm. So at the end, I'm like, so wait, what happened to basically all those characters given the situation we ended in? Like, and now I kind of want to go out and find the book just to, like,
I was just gonna say, maybe you need to read the book.
Well, I just want to flip to the end of the book and see, like, so what happens to these characters at the end? Is there an ending in the book? Because you end well, she, you know, gets to a certain point where it's like, okay, we could stop here. We don't fully know what's going to happen to these characters, like, a minute after this, but we're at a part where we feel somewhat resolved about most of the characters we've seen in this film, although I still have major questions about some of the side characters, even at the very moment we end. But I was like, I can see why Angelina Jolie would be an executive producer on this film.
Yeah. If it makes you feel any better, this is the first, the breadwinner is the first in a series of books.
Oh, okay.
So that may be why it ended feeling very unsettled.
Yeah, because it definitely did feel like, you know, since we have this whole metaphor of telling a story, it's like, so you're going to tell me some more tomorrow, right?
It's
like, we have to go to bed now, but you're going to continue. It felt like that. I was like, so we're going to continue this tomorrow? No, the movie ends. Okay, fine.
There's four books in the series.
Uh-huh. That makes a bit more sense. So yeah, I liked it pretty well. The animation is a little offsetting for me. So for example, because they're in Afghanistan, all of the fully adult men a number of the fully adult men have like beards and or mustaches,
which they have to under Taliban law. Yes,
but the way the animation style is done, the mustaches look like they're coming out of the nose nostrils as opposed to an actual mustache, and that was just like off-putting time I saw it. Again, the story animation is a bit more jerky, but it's supposed to be, so that worked pretty okay. But then for the rest of it, it did actually seem somewhat believable. Like, you don't get, you know, in the way you did, like, especially with Teen Titans, because it's a superhero where they're running at like ridiculous speeds because they're a cartoon,
right?
Like, they're done in a way that their movements seem pretty realistic. It's just their actual appearance is a little strange because your mustache is distracting.
It. I am looking at pictures now. It does kind of look like the mustache is coming out of his nose.
It does, yes.
Interesting.
But overall, I liked it. I'm just upset that it ended and I have to go to bed.
Just five more minutes.
Right? Just one more chapter, please. I'm sure my mother did read to me, but I could read at an early age and I was always like, I can do it myself. So I read to myself and I don't actually have any memories of being like, please, mom, please. But yeah, this felt like that. Please, mom, please, just finish a story. Just one more chapter, one more 5 minutes, something. One more time with the storybook, as parents evidently sometimes complain of the child wants the storybook over and over again.
Well, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they do any other books in the series as movies.
It would, yeah. I'm not quite sure like what the original distribution for this film was. Mm-hmm. I don't remember seeing a trailer for it.
I haven't.
So I don't know if it actually appeared in theaters or if it was just a I can understand why Angelina Jolie would produce it. Mm-hmm. It definitely seems like a project she'd be interested in, given the different philanthropic things she's done.
Right.
But yeah, so it'd be interesting to see if they do continue this story. And again, I just kind of just want to now flip to maybe the end of the fourth book or something. How does this end?
Cheater.
Why don't you have an ending? I don't normally do that, but I really want to do it for this movie slash book slash whatever.
Well, it is an Academy Award nominee for best animated feature.
I can totally believe that as well. Mm-hmm. I absolutely can. Yes. So on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.